This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. My guest in this portion of the program is a survivor of Stalin's campaign against the Polish in World War II. His name is Wesley Adamczyk. When he was a young boy, he, his mother Anna, his brother Jerzy, and sister Zofia were forced from their Polish home and sent to Siberia. His father, Jan, an officer in the Polish army, was taken prisoner and was one of the thousands slain at the hands of the Soviets in the Katyn massacre in 1940. Wesley Adamczyk, our guest, tells his family's story in his memoir, When God Looked the Other Way, an odyssey of war, exile, and redemption. Wesley Adamczyk's odyssey began in Poland and ended half a world away in Chicago. Listeners, I invite you to join our discussion this afternoon. I look forward to your questions and comments. You can join us with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number. That number is 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Our guest, Wesley Adamczyk, is a retired chemist and tax consultant. He's also a champion bridge player. His book, When God Looked the Other Way, An Odyssey of War, Exile, and Redemption, is published by the University of Chicago Press. Again, those phone numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. Wesley Adamczyk, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
I thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Well, tell us, first of all, about the Katyn massacre. What was it?
The Katyn massacre, or the Katyn forest massacre, was the site of the Soviet murder of Polish prisoners of war, and in this particular case, most of whom were Polish officers, and the order of March 5, 1940 was issued at the highest hierarchy of the communist regime. Stalin signed it, Molotov, Voroshilov, the names that we are familiar with, and the purpose of it was to eliminate Polish intelligentsia for the purpose of completely taking over Poland and wiping out not only the Polish people, but completely wiping out Poland from the map of the world. And, of course, the Katyn Forest Massacre was a place where the Germans, after they invaded the Soviet Union, they discovered it not very far from Moscow itself.
Mm. When and how were the graves discovered?
Well, the graves were discovered very close to the town of Smolensk, which was a huge railroad station. And one of the reasons why they did it in this fashion is for the purpose of transportation, because in the Katyn massacre, they murdered 15,000 Polish officers. So as you can imagine, it's a huge number of people to transport and find a suitable place to murder. And they were murdering those people with one shot to the back of the head. In the Katyn Forest specifically, they did it in open pits. They led people to the edge of the pit, shot them in the back, pushed them into the pit, and in many cases, some of those people were still alive. And the Germans, who attacked the Soviet Union in June of 1941, after breaking a two-year pact, which maybe we'll have a chance to mention it later as to what happened between those two nations, they advanced very quickly toward Moscow, Kiev, and Leningrad. And in the process of their advance, they came across the Katyn Forest Massacre, and indeed, it was a forest, the reason being, after the Soviets dug up the graves, they planted young trees over them, hoping that no one ever would discover this, And once the trees would overgrow, this would be almost impossible had the Germans not attacked the Soviets.
Yeah. Now, the Germans, however, made this discovery. What did they do with that information?
Well, needless to say, once they made the discovery, and the Soviet Union, the country that was united with the Germans for the first 2 years of the war, they, in agreement with one another, as I mentioned a minute ago, decided to wipe out Polish people. Now, we all know what the Germans did during the Holocaust, with the gas chambers, concentration camps, but very little is known what the Soviets did to the Polish people at the same time with the knowledge of the Germans. And so what happened, since the Germans now broke the relationship with the Soviet Union, it was to their advantage to spread this information all over Europe to the Western Allies so that the Western Allies would finally find out what the Soviets did in the first 2 years when they were united with the Germans and blame it on them in order with the hope to break up the relationship or the alliance with the Western Allies. Because once the Germans attack in 1941, Soviets had a humongous army, and once they united with the Western Allies, it was very convenient and much easier to defeat Nazi Germany together. So that by announcing to the West what the Soviets did before by murdering Polish officers, they were hoping that this union somehow would be broken and it would leave the Western Allies to fight the Germans by themselves. And of course, the Soviets immediately went on a defensive and accused the Western Allies that they are trying to deface and the communism, that they're trying to give a bad name and blame the discovery on the Germans, which of course was the cover-up that lasted for many years, not to mention in the Nuremberg post-war trials.
Did the U.S. and Britain know that, in fact, it had been the Soviets that had committed this war crime?
I am willing to say not only yes, but almost in the first days, right from the beginning, when the Germans discovered the Katyn massacre, because they began to exhume the bodies, and everything pointed to the Soviet guilt. And of course, we don't have enough time for me to go into detail, but except something in general that our audience would get at least a conception of what happened. The three camps where the 15,000 Polish officers were held were in the Soviet Union territory. As a matter of fact, two of them were very close to Moscow. The other one was in today's Ukraine, which of course in those days was part of the Soviet Union, so that it was established during the exhumation, and I will not go into detail because to discuss this would take me about half an hour to convince someone like in court who has done it and why and so forth. So that one thing I'm going to say, the officers were murdered between May and April of 1940. And this was the time when the Germans and the Soviets were bosom buddies. The Germans were no place in sight. They stayed on the western part of Poland because they were not at war. As I mentioned at the beginning, and I'm more or less doing this repetitiously, to instill with the audience that for the first 2 years of the war, the Germans and the Soviets were bosom buddies intending to wipe out Poland from the face of the map. Therefore, when the officers who were on the Soviet soil held in their hands by secret police, not only the army, There is no way, there was no German at the time nearby to have come to have murdered 15,000 people. That is the key. And of course, there is a numerous array of other evidence from the graves. When they were exhumed, they found on the bodies letters home no later than middle of May 1940, Soviet newspapers no later than middle of May, pointing out through this evidence and also forensic evidence that the officers were murdered between April and May of 1940. The Germans attacked a year later on June 22nd, 1941.
Mm-hmm. Did the Allies have any choice but to turn a blind eye to what had happened?
Well, to answer your question exactly, when it comes to choices, all of us have a choice. Whatever we do, right or wrong, we have a choice to do it or not to do it. Of course they have a choice. But during the war, which was a horrendous, tragic experience in Europe, where Americans came to Europe to liberate the Europeans, including the Poles, from the Nazi invasion, a lot of considerations arise for the military at the time that may or may not be sanctioned by people later. In other words, the question arises simultaneously whether the means, and we often discuss this in ethics and philosophy, the question arises if and when the means ever justify the end. And I must say, since you asked me, the question was, the primary purpose was of the Americans and the Western Allies was to defeat the Nazi, which was an absolute aberration on this earth. And therefore, the issue came, which I can phrase briefly. It was a question of expediencies, and at the time during the discovery of the grave, it was a question of military expediency. Churchill and Roosevelt were deadly afraid. Soviets at the time had millions of soldiers, and the West was afraid, meaning the key leaders, our President Roosevelt and Churchill from Great Britain, what would happen if we took the explanation of the Germans who dug up the graves with all the evidence, and may I add, Germans quickly, who surely was, Katyn was one thing that they cannot be accused of, other than the myriad of other things, they took forensic experts from 12 neutral countries, meaning those that were not involved in the war, to exhume the bodies. And they unanimously said that the officers were murdered in 1940, and pointing with other evidence, pointing all the arrows pointing to the Soviets, the question was this. Either we take a Soviet version or accept the Soviet version or take into consideration what the Germans have said. Since the Germans were the enemies, it was much easier for the West and Western leaders to accept the Russian version so that the Soviets would be still united with the West, which we called for years the Allies, and therefore not lose them. Because if we accuse the Soviets, in reality, the Soviets could have broken the pact with the Germans, and they have signed a week before the war began, a mutual pact of non-aggression. They could have broken now alliance with the West, and the West would be left to fight the Germans with their own resources. And the truth of the matter is that for every American boy, and we lost 400,000 killed and 600 maimed, the Russians, who had no use for human values with millions of people, and they really fought bravely, I must admit, against the Germans, if they broke alliance, so many more of our people would have lost lives. So this was the main reason why President Roosevelt and Churchill decided to at least during the duration of the war to maintain silence as to who has done it. And secondly, what happened? After 2 months of exhumations, the Soviets began to advance toward the Katyn Forest, pushed out the Germans, and the exhumations had to stop. So you can imagine, war is going on, fast and furious, and Soviet soil, changing positions. So the decision process indeed had to be fast and furious.
Mm. How old were you when the Soviets invaded Poland in September of 1939?
Well, the war began in September in 1939, and I was at the time 6 and a half to answer your question. But if you allow me, I would like to mention one thing which I mentioned in all my lectures from 12-year-olds to university level, because many Americans do not know what really happened at the beginning of the war. When I pose a question, who started the war? Some people say, well, I don't know, but most of them say the Germans on September 1, 1939. What the answer is, believe it or not, many of the listeners may be surprised that I'm going to say this in public. Had I asked who fired the first shot of the Second War, clearly 5 a.m. September 1, 1939. But my question to those people was, who began the Second War? And without a doubt, and I'm willing to say it on Chicago public television, was not begun by the Germans only. It was begun by the Germans and the Soviets in collusion with one another, with an agreement a week before the war, and both of them attacked Poland 2 weeks apart from both sides. Why am I mentioning this? Because unless a person understands that it was the Germans and the Soviets, then it would be very hard, very difficult to understand later when we talk about Katyn massacre, why would one ally murder the officers of another ally and deport their people to Siberia? Do you see what I'm trying to explain? But once we know that those two enemies of Poland united to exterminate us, now it's easier to understand why they even thought of murdering the Polish officers and the deportation.
Mm. The plan was to divide Poland.
Forever, they have already divided between them in secrecy, and by extermination, the leadership, they wanted to simply wipe out Poland forever from the face of the earth. And one of the reasons why they began to deport Polish people to Siberia was that the lands would belong to the Soviets on the east, the Germans would have it on the west. They would put others who survive into slave labor, and to accomplish this easier, this practice was even done by the Russian Tsars way back. To subjugate the people, you cut off the head of the nation, meaning the intelligentsia and the leadership. And the officers that were murdered, at least on the Russian side, were 45% of Polish intelligentsia, professors, lawyers, writers, whoever could be considered a professional. This way, they thought that it'd be much easier to deport some other people, and they would take over the lands that they conquered, and that would be the end of Polish people. In fact, I often mention, and I'll mention this on this radio, were it not the fact that the Germans attacked the Soviets 2 years after the war began and broke their peaceful agreement, I would not be on NPR radio today. Most of the Polish people in the United States would not be in the United States because they either would be killed in the Soviet Union or die from malnutrition or die from slave labor, and the rest of them would be by attrition and slave would die off. And needless to say, thousands of Poles that came after the war seeking refuge in freedom would not even make it because we escaped, I, with some 115,000 people in 1942 to Persia, current Iran, and this is a long explanation why it happened, unless you would ask me to continue, and that's the reason why I and other thousands of Polish people are today in the United States.
This is a part of the story of World War II that is not well known, going back to the beginning of your last answer. Why not?
Well, I really have to thank you for this question, because for the last 10 years of my retirement, I have dedicated my entire life to the dissemination of information on this part of Polish tragedy. Many people call it the Polish Holocaust. Not only that it happened between the Katyn massacre and the deportation of some 1.7 million to the Soviet Union, but the fact is that the West was silent on this issue because the West did not want to, after the war was over, to embarrass themselves, to reveal that we, as Western people, who came to liberate Europe from the Nazis, left Europe with more conquered, more countries that were taken over by the Soviets and enslaved than we liberated from the Nazis. And the real reason is we did participate with the Soviet Union with one key purpose, and bless them that the Nazis were conquered, because many people can live in freedom today. However, we cannot forget, if history ever is supposed to teach us and be an example for the future so that the tragedies will not occur again, it is incumbent upon us. And when us, I will name the free world in Europe, the British, the French, and others, and particularly United States, that this is a country of freedom where everybody wants to come to. It is incumbent upon us to write about the tragedies that happened during the Second War. And believe me, I have gone through all of this. I understand there is a myriad of events we all cannot write by everything. But let me tell you this. The Katyn massacre was the largest international military genocide in the history of Europe. Don't you think, and this is an interrogative question I am posing, that in American books we ought to have at least a mention of it, if not an explanation? Why? The answer is simple, and I believe this is the question that you asked me at the beginning. And the Katyn massacre, I do not want to go into any further, but just to answer your question, why don't we know about the Katyn massacre, as I just pointed out, at least in generalities? And the answer is simple. Once we united with the Soviets, and which many people consider, including myself, a bigger evil on the first of this earth than any other. We know Europe lost 55 million people. We know what the Hitler did. And thanks to Jewish people that they insisted that every school, beginning with grammar school, I believe, and high school, is teaching the children what Holocaust was and why. What a horrendous humanity, the biggest, one of the biggest evils that humans perpetrated on the other. But let me tell you this. It was also the Holocaust of a different kind, was perpetrated by the Soviets, of course not on the same scale as the Jewish people, but comparing Holocaust and genocide and tragedies, it's not the question for we two friends meet together and talk about last night's basketball game, 152 to 149. Wow, what a game. This is a human tragedy. Whether one dies within a group of 1,000 people at the hands of the enemy, or if one dies within a group much larger of a million, every human life undergoes a tragedy, and it is incumbent upon us when the great either talk about him for the purpose of learning who is who. It's only in the recent time after the fall of communism that we are learning little by little. But this is belatedly what the Soviets have done. And today, many people 60, 70 years old never heard that there was deportation of some 1.7 million people about the Katyn massacre. And you ask me the question why. Because it was embarrassing at the very right after the war ended, to admit for the West what horrors the Soviets have done, not only with the Polish people, mind you, but with their own people. As a matter of fact, and I'm not going to go deeper into the facts, the Soviets murdered, and you can quote me on public television, murdered more people, not only Polish people, East Europeans, and their own people than did Hitler. So the question now is, you ask me a terrific question, but I will more or less rhetorically ask you, just for emphasis, why don't we teach our children, at least in a paragraph or two, that the Soviets also were an evil empire? In fact, find me a person who was from East, not only from Poland, but from East European countries that doesn't know the name the Inhuman Land. This is how those people refer to the Soviet Union. And not because it was blizzards of Siberia or heat in Kazakhstan. It was the inhuman and inhumane treatment of other people by the Soviet regime. Sorry if I took a little bit too long.
That's okay. I'm going to reintroduce you, and then we're going to take a call.
Okay.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest this afternoon, Wesley Adamczyk. When he was a young boy, he, his mother Anna, and his brother Jerzy and sister Zofia were forced from their Polish home and sent to Siberia. His father Jan, an officer in the Polish army, was taken prisoner and was one of the thousands slain at the hands of the Soviets in the Katyn massacre in 1940. Our guest tells the story, his family's story, in his memoir, When God Looked the Other Way, an odyssey of war, exile, and redemption. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with questions, comments, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Let's take a call now, a listener on line one. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Adamczyk. It's a pleasure to hear you speak. I cannot comprehend the hardships, the tragedies that you might have suffered. From what I'm hearing from your discussion is that I think we're so used to looking for neat lines in war and butchery. I think that we need to change that. There were thousands of Germans who were mistreated, innocent German civilians who were mistreated by victims of the Soviets. I mean, we can go on and on in this endless circle. There were horrible things done in any war, pretty much. So I'm kind of wondering, I guess my question is, yes, the massacre was told. I mean, it's known now, but it was known to a lot of people even back then as well. But I'm just wondering, should we stop looking for these neat lines? And you mentioned something about the free world. I mean, even that, I have problems with, because you mentioned the French and the English. Well, the most interesting thing for me is even in this good versus bad war, the good were obviously even worse than the bad in certain. There are so many variations, and I'm going to hang up and listen to these variations in war, how even the good sides are monsters as well. So, if you could elaborate on that. Thank you.
Mr. Adamczyk?
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you very much for your question. May I ask, with the next caller, to speak a little bit louder, because at the beginning I had a little bit of a hard time understanding what the gentleman said. For the most part, sir, I agree with you. And as a matter of fact, some minutes ago I did mention, because I am a mature, reasonable person, and I love this country dearly, you cannot talk about every little incident in history books, otherwise we would have nothing else to read other than that. My reference was only to the biggest events that happened that were covered up. And I did also mention that usually history is written by the victors. Of course, in the Soviet Union, it was completely written, the Second War. They always do as communists do. They either tell lies in order to protect themselves, or they tell the truth only if it's favorable to them. But I'm not, that's an extreme. I am simply saying that if we really teach our young people today that history should be a lesson, hoping that the same events would not occur today, then may I suggest to our book writers, and not as criticism, as a positive item, because as humans, if we are going to progress and really have peace between one another, then we must try to begin not to cover up the atrocities. I'm not talking for the sake of just enumeration, but to cover them up so that average people don't know they ever happened, and especially when it's done by the governments of the people, then there is something wrong. And believe me, there is no place on earth better than the United States. This is a place of freedom and liberty, and no one gets sent to Siberia for speaking the truth. So, in essence, you made a good point, but more or less repeated what I said before, and I'm not going to say what I'm going to say in defense of what I'm doing, but I feel as an American citizen, the fact that I was deported to Siberia, the fact that as a child I lost my home, my country, my father through genocide, my mother who led us to freedom, am I bitter? Am I angry? Today, no, but because bitter and anger would be a cancer. But as an American citizen who loves this country, and the country is a beacon of freedom where everybody wants to come to, we cannot hide, even though it's 65 years later, what was committed by the Soviets during the Second War, the fact that it is many years later. I have news for you. Then it should have been done right after the war, and I'm not going to talk right now because it would take a lot of time to talk about who covered up the Katyn massacre in particular. The deportation was more or less known. But the truth of the matter is that most people that never heard today of what happened to the Polish people is because someone found it convenient for them not to write about it.
I'm going to jump in here, and I'm going to put into the conversation here something that your mother told you
yes.
a long time ago. She said, when we get out of this situation, when we get out of this place, when we find a home, she said to you and your sister, tell the world a human story of what it takes in blood, tears, and pain, and suffering to live through war. And I think that that's a nice way to follow up on what the caller, I think, was also getting at, is the horror of
sure.
war. And now let's go on and take another call. Listener in Urbana, line two. Hi.
Hi there, Mr. Adamczyk. Thank
How
you
are
so
you?
Much. I'm good. Thank you for coming onto the radio and telling your story. I really appreciate it, and I do have a question for you. As somebody who has, a mother who emigrated here from Poland and felt as strongly as you did about this country, about the freedoms afforded here, and how important that was to give me a life where I could choose how I wanted to live and how, and I could think freely and so on, I wondered, what message would you have for these first-generation children to how to help Poles that seem to be in a situation, today where their own government is treating them in a way that is oppressive and conservative. And, you know, it's heartbreaking to see sort of what's happening there today. I just wanted your opinion on you know, what people here can do to help the people there. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay. I thank you very much for a question, or should I say a few incorporated questions in one another. So I'll try to be as brief as possible, but the first thing that I would like to say, those of us who ended up in the United States of Polish and our parents have gone through either Siberia or the war, being pounded by two sides, we are fortunate, as I am, to have come to freedom. But it doesn't end in here, because assuming that we are free and enjoy what we have in beautiful American life is not enough. Every citizen owes this country a lot. So simply to have gin and tonic and a steak is beautiful, a person who can afford to live in leisure, but we have a responsibility to acknowledge how we love this country, how it was before, and particularly what we have gone through. And the main reason is, even though one may think I'm changing this subject just a little, trust me, I'm not. Our youth today is living in such abundance and such beautiful life that not only the youth, but we as American citizens do not appreciate what this country is. And one way, not everybody, of course, in the country can go all over the world to see how others live. Therefore, for those of us who came here and have gone through this, it is very important for us to tell others what happened before, so at least by comparison, we can contribute something to our people, our education, because if I may mention briefly, when I lost my mother and father, I had four and a half years of a formal education. My odyssey went through 12 countries and four continents. I was responsible, for myself, including my education or lack of. And hence, when I came to the United States, I applied what my parents taught me before I was 7 years old. So let me come back to the point. Those of us who have something constructive to say, and believe me, when I give lectures on this subject, and 12-year-olds give me a standing ovation, it doesn't mean that they were listening to history or the terrible things. They are listening to someone and appreciate how well they have it and comprehend what happened before with other people. And they understand it very well, much better than reading a dry history book. So when you say, what can we do? Needless to say, about helping people in Poland, after the fall of communism, situation in Poland is improving little by little by little. What can we do to help people in Poland? I will give you a short answer that the odds are that you have never heard anybody say before. You know, they say that God helps those who help themselves. Meaning to say, when we behave, those that came from out of the country, as United States citizens who love this country, who show it, who do constructive things, whatever they may be, we improve our image of what we are as Polish people. And believe me, through 50 years, the stereotype was awful simply because the others didn't know what we went through, didn't know what we, how we fought for liberation of Europe, how we lost our country and freedom. Therefore, we can help those and ourselves in America by getting educated, learning to speak English, and doing things that Americans would look at us as good and proud citizens. And I could talk for half an hour on this subject.
Well, we don't have that kind of time.
No, we don't have that kind of time.
And
so
we've got a couple of other listeners who would like to speak with you. So let's go next to a listener in Urbana on line 3. You're on the Afternoon Magazine with Wesley Adamczyk.
Hello, Professor.
He's not a professor, but
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I've been accused of that, though.
Well, you're on the right track.
Okay.
Sir, one of the things I'd like to remind you of is that there were factions inside of the United States at the end of World War II that adhered to the position that we should take action against the Soviet Union. General George S. Patton was one of those, and he wanted to go out and declare open war. That decision was eventually not realized, and thus the Cold War began as we know it. So to say that the West was sitting back, not contemplating that, I think is a misnomer. There were people who were willing to take that kind of action, but again, like you said, with 50 million dead in Europe and around the world, that was not the prevailing opinion, and thank God it did not succeed. Do you have any comment on the prevailing opinion of the United States immediately after World War II and the beginning of the Cold War? And I'll hang up and take my answer offline. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Everybody who called in had something very nice to say. I hope I remember all your comments. Number one, when you mentioned General Patton, of course there are people. There were people all the time. But the question is, how many and were they in the government? Because the government during those days were dictating and revealing what happened or what didn't happen. So the question is this. What he wanted, what General Patton wanted to do, meaning he was a true patriot, he understood. However, what really happened on higher levels, why he wasn't allowed, I can give you the answer in 3 words, which is the biggest answer. You can read a book on this subject, and I'll give you the answer in 3 words. What happened was from the top. No need for me to say who the top was. It was the question of expediency, military expediency, political, moral, and legal. You see why the Katyn massacre was covered up and the deportation. And I hope that this explanation would suffice. In other words, during the war, it was not convenient for the West to admit that Soviets did it and that the West knew it. And even though I lost my father, I can understand it to a point, because the object was to beat the Nazis. But my question to you is the following. Once the Nuremberg War Crimes Trials came shortly after the war, from 45 to 46, this was the time to reveal what happened and to at least investigate what happened, because not everything was clear 100% on day one. And the question is this: who allowed the Soviets? The Katyn massacre didn't even come up in Katyn. The Soviet only peripheral. At the end, it was not even mentioned that it happened, that it came up. But the Big Four, which was Great Britain, France, United States, excuse me, and the Soviet Union was invited to London to decide whom were going to charge in Nuremberg war crimes trials. And may I remind one and all, the Nuremberg war crimes trials was not just to charge the hundreds of atrocities by the Germans. It was crimes against humanity, against anybody, by anybody. So if the French or the Poles or the British or the Americans committed a crime against humanity, that should have been brought up. Of course, Germany was defeated. And the point was, I'll close on this, the case of Katyn was not investigated. Churchill, in his book, In the Hinge of Fate, I believe on page 761, made a self-incriminating statement. We, the victorious governments, did not consider, would not take the issue, did not take the issue in the Nuremberg. Excuse me? We, the victorious governments, four of them, Poland was the first country that fought from the first day to the last day, had the biggest army, suffered a horrendous tragedy, and they did not get a seat, and the reason was simple. But Soviets were invited so that the big four can process Nuremberg correctly. And that's part of the question.
And there we're going to have to leave it. We're out of time. I want to thank you very much for talking with us this afternoon. And one thing I want to say about your memoir, When God Looked the Other Way, yes, is that it is a powerful account of what happens to civilians in war. And we have not even talked about that today, unfortunately. But I want people to know that, that it is a powerful testimony to what happens to civilians, including children, in war. And there we're going to have to leave it because we are out of time. Mr. Adamczyk, thank you so much for talking with us this afternoon.
It's been a pleasure, and thanks to all the callers. I wish we had more time to respond.
Wesley Adamczyk has been our guest in this portion of The Afternoon Magazine. He is the author of the memoir, When God Looked the Other Way, An Odyssey of War, Exile, and Redemption.